A woman stands before a German officer in 1916, her wrists bone thin from starvation, her chin lifted in defiance. And clutched against her chest, wrapped like a baby, is a chloroformed piglet. One discovery away from execution, Sophie Lefebvre doesn't flinch. This is what war does. It transforms ordinary people into unlikely heroes, forces impossible choices, and turns a simple painting into a century-spanning question about what we owe the past and what we're willing to sacrifice for love. Before occupation and impossible choices, there was Paris in 1912. Sophie worked at La Femme Marche department store when unconventional artist Edward Lefebvre kept returning to buy scarves while boldly studying her face. Irritation transformed into fascination as she discovered his sensory enthusiasm for life, how he murmured while mixing colors, ate with unabashed pleasure, spoke his mind freely. When Edouard painted her portrait, she barely recognized the strange, proud, beautiful girl with copper hair and alabaster skin. "I knew you were in there," he whispered. Overwhelmed, she kissed him. On their honeymoon, he bought her an extravagant red hat with black peacock feathers. "It is you, Sophie." This perfect happiness lasted until 1914, when war tore them apart at the Gare du Nord. She turned away without watching him board, a decision that would haunt her. He'd slipped a caricature into her pocket. "I never knew real happiness until you." That portrait, capturing her in their sun-drenched Paris apartment wearing her red dress, became her lifeline through the nightmare that followed. By October 1916, Sophie and Helene run Le Coq Rouge in occupied Saint-Péron, serving the enemy to survive. The town's brutality toward suspected collaborators is swift. Stones at Lillian Bethune's windows, people crossing streets to avoid her. When the commandant allows them to eat leftover German food, each morsel tastes of both relief and shame. The commandant's fascination with Sophie's portrait creates dangerous complications. Their discussions about art painfully remind her of Edouard, while drawing whispers that she's become the commandant's favorite. Every night, Sophie touches the portrait's surface like a talisman, silently promising, "When you return, I will once again be the girl you painted." Then, devastating news arrives. Edouard has been sent to a reprisal camp at Ardennes for giving bread to a prisoner. Men sleep 200 to a shed, subsist on watery soup, face beatings or execution for minor infractions. Desperation drives Sophie to approach the commandant, offering him the portrait in exchange for helping free Edouard. He touches her hair gently, but grows angry when she persists, finally instructing her to come to the barracks the following night. The implication hangs between them, unspoken but unmistakable. That night, Sophie dreams of Edouard's disgust and Helene's warning, "Once it is done, it cannot be undone." But looking at the portrait, she wraps it and leaves after curfew, repeating, "I will free Edouard." In the commandant's quarters, Sophie unwraps the portrait, explaining how it sustained her through dark days. "It was never about the painting, Sophie," he reveals. She drinks wine to blur reality. He asks her to dance, removes the pins from her hair, and kisses her. Sophie allows it, the trade for Edouard's freedom. But during the encounter, she turns to stone, mentally escaping to Paris streets. Suddenly, the commandant stops. "I wanted the girl in the painting," he exclaims, furious at her passivity. When Sophie explains she gave everything she could, he roars, "Get out," and throws her from the room. Days later, she obsessively replays the encounter. Had she pretended enjoyment, she might have saved Edouard. When Germans come for her, Sophie refuses to escape, convinced the commandant is keeping his bargain. But Aurelian publicly accuses her of sleeping with the German, and the crowd turns hostile. Someone spits, cries of putain fill the air. As German hands push her into a truck, Sophie whispers Edouard's name, watching Le Coq Rouge disappear. In 2006 London, Liv Halston lives in the Glass House, her late husband David's architectural legacy. 4 years widowed, she battles grief and debt. Sophie's portrait, The Girl You Left Behind, hangs in her bedroom, a cherished wedding gift from David. Her isolation breaks when she meets Paul McCafferty after a handbag theft. Their immediate attraction offers her first hope since David's death. But when Paul discovers the painting after their first night together, he abruptly leaves. Liv soon receives a letter claiming the painting was stolen during German occupation in 1917, demanding its return to the Lefebvre family. Paul's company represents the claimants. They're now adversaries. The painting, once worth mere francs, is now valued at £2 to £3 million. Despite mounting legal fees and public pressure, Liv refuses to surrender it. Media portrays her as a wealthy socialite hoarding stolen art, while she faces financial ruin and social ostracism. David's architectural legacy crumbles as his name is stripped from his firm and foundation. Determined to find the truth, Liv travels to France with roommate Mo. They meet Philippe Bessette, Sophie's nephew, who reveals Sophie's name was never spoken. She was branded a collaborator. Despite this family shame, Philippe gives Liv a folder of Sophie's papers, revealing her desperate attempt to save her husband by offering the painting. On verdict day, Liv brings the painting to court, ready to surrender it. She addresses the court, acknowledging Sophie's bravery and stating David would have returned the painting had he known its history. Just as the judge prepares his verdict, Paul arrives with an elderly woman in a wheelchair, Edith Bethune, Lillian's daughter who was 7 during the occupation. Edith makes a stunning revelation. The girl you left behind was never stolen. After Sophie's apparent death, Helene received a letter signed Marie Leville, revealing that Sophie and Edward had escaped to Switzerland with false papers provided in lieu of services to the German state. The commandant had arranged their escape, with Edward carrying his sick wife the final 15 miles to the checkpoint. Helene instructed Edith to deliver Sophie's portrait to the commandant with a message chalked on the back, Pour Herr Commandant, qui comprendra, pas pris, mais donné. To Herr Commandant, who will understand, not taken, but given. When Edith delivered it, the commandant's face softened with relief. Filled with childhood hatred, she lied that Sophie had died of Spanish flu. The devastated commandant never returned to Le Coq Rouge. The truth emerges. Between 1917 and 1926, Sophie and Edward lived quietly by a Swiss lake as Anton and Marie Leville. Every evening at 9:15, Anton would walk to collect his wife from work, and they'd return arm in arm. With the truth revealed, the court returns the painting to Liv. When security suggests the back exit, Liv refuses. Not this time, she says. We're going out through the front. It's a small act echoing Sophie's courage, a refusal to hide or feel shame. The painting's journey raises a profound question. Can anyone truly own art, or does it belong to those who need it most? The Lefebvres claimed monetary value, but Liv understood that this portrait had sustained two women across a century, connecting them through shared experiences of love and loss. The commandant's choice to help Sophie and Edward escape showed how love can transcend duty. Sophie, branded a collaborator, maintained her integrity throughout. Liv, by fighting for the painting, uncovered Sophie's true story of survival and resilience. As Liv and Paul begin their new life together, with Sophie's portrait watching over them, they contemplate finding other paintings from Sophie and Edward's Swiss life, perhaps featuring a red-haired woman under palm trees, older but with eyes full of love. Sophie's portrait reminds us that the most powerful acts of love are sometimes the quietest, a painting given freely, a truth revealed decades later, a choice to walk out the front door with your head held high.